Well, good morning.
It's good to be back with you all again. It's crazy because I think it's been probably 2 months since I was last here. I just know that college basketball was still on. It's kind of how my brain works when it comes to time frames. But it's good to be back regardless. Between me and my dad, you guys have had a lot of the Lee family. So hopefully this morning will be okay with you. But I do have a quick change because I noticed on the sign out there, and I told Danny this, that this morning I was going to preach a lesson entitled, there's a passage for that, and then this evening I was going to preach about actually what I'm going to preach on today. So a little switch, so I hope that doesn't throw anybody for a loop. I hope you didn't show up this morning specifically for that lesson, but come back tonight and you'll be able to hear it. So just wanted to let you know, I apologize for that. Hopefully that won't be too big of a problem. Well, this should not be a shock to anyone, and hopefully it's not a shock to anyone, but today is Mother's Day. So if you have not told your mom already, or if you haven't done anything for your mom, make sure you do that before the day's up. But since my mom is in the crowd, and I am her favorite child, I figured I'd talk a little bit about her to start off. So there's a lot of things I love about my mom, but one of her best qualities is her ability to find anything that you've lost. And this quality actually was on display yesterday. I was home back in Campbellsville, and she had misplaced a notebook. And so, like anything that has been misplaced, my mom will make it her life mission for however long it takes to find this item. So typically it's me who is losing things, right? And I'll tell my mom, hey, I can't find this. And immediately she's like a bloodhound and she's on the case. And she will not stop until she finds that missing item. It's really quite amazing. But without fail, you know, her and I and everyone else in the house, except my dad, will be looking for this item. And typically, Dad's in the living room. He's, like I said, he's not a part of the search party. But he'll speak up. He'll yell out, hey, I know where it is. And we're like, great, we'll all stop in our tracks. We'll say, great, where is it? He's like, well, it's just where you're not looking. And we're all like, oh, thank you. That's so helpful. I really appreciate that. And, you know, we all sigh. We roll our eyes. And it's just one of his cheesy dad jokes. But I got to thinking about it, and When you think about that concept, it's true. Anytime you can't find something, it's because you're looking in all the wrong places. And so that's the concept, that's the idea I want to talk about this morning, is that, and I want to relate it to our spiritual life, it's the idea of looking in the wrong places. Because at the end of the day, that's the fact. When you can't find something, it's because you're looking in all the wrong places. So how does that relate to our spiritual life? Well, I think as Christians, we live this life. We all have fairly similar experiences here on this earth. We go through trials. We go through hardships. And it's possible that we occasionally lose aspects of our spiritual life. And what do I mean by that? Well, there's several different characteristics, several different qualities that Christians should strive to maintain and that they should strive to have in our lives. But it is possible, because we're not perfect, because we are human, that occasionally we lose some of those characteristics or we lose some of those qualities in our spiritual life. And when that happens, where do we look? Where do we look to try to find those things? And so this morning we're going to talk about three different aspects in our spiritual life that we may lose from time to time. And we'll talk about where sometimes we look and we can't find those things. And instead, we're going to try to focus our attention on Scripture and where we can find those things that we might lose from time to time. So the first aspect I thought of in our spiritual life, or the first characteristic of our spiritual life, is joy. Now, joy gets talked about occasionally. And if you will, actually turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. But a lot of times in life, we confuse joy and happiness. And they're similar. And I actually looked up some, you know, dictionary definitions of joy. And a lot of times in those definitions, the word happiness is used. But we've probably all heard a similar definition of joy, when joy is more permanent than happiness. Happiness typically is derived from temporary experiences. It's things that maybe are momentary in life and that makes us happy, but that's not necessarily the same thing as joy. And as Christians, we know that joy has to be a part of our life. So look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 with me. This is the start of the section that talks about the fruits of the Spirit, but it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law." So right there, second on the list is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and he goes on and talks about more there. So first and foremost, joy has to be a part of our life as Christians. And that's not to say that every single day is going to be great. We know that we're going to have days, we're going to have moments in life that honestly don't necessarily seem joyful. But that joy that we have is nestled deep in our heart. And that joy that we have makes it possible for even when we have the bad days, when we have the hard days, that we can still look to God for our ultimate source of joy. But let's think about this concept and think about when we lose joy. Where do people often turn, or where do they turn to find it? Well, a lot of times we'll turn to temporary pleasures, and they're not necessarily bad. You might go and you might seek out different forms of entertainment. Maybe it's movies or maybe it's television shows, but you're losing your joy and you try to find it in these temporary pleasures. Maybe it's recreation or travel. None of those things are necessarily wrong. Or if we think about it on a bit more nefarious aspect, sometimes, and hopefully this is not true in our life, but sometimes people, they'll turn to sinful activities, sinful behaviors to find joy. Maybe they feel like they're just so down on their luck that they need to turn to substances like drugs or alcohol. And they feel like, well, this is going to make me feel better. And temporarily, it does. It gives them that experience. It gives them that feeling that they're looking for. Or you turn to other sinful behavior. Maybe it's sexual promiscuity that you turn to, and you try to find joy in those things. Well, the fact of the matter is if you're looking for joy in those things, you're looking in all the wrong places. You're not going to find joy in those things. Instead, where can we find joy? Well, there's multiple places you can turn through and turn to in Scripture. But one I want us to look at is in Habakkuk. It's in the Old Testament here, Habakkuk chapter 3. And we'll read a few verses here on where we can find joy. Habakkuk chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 17. It says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the flocks yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places." So in verse 17 here of Habakkuk 3, the picture that is painted is not pretty. This is not something that we would read and say, wow, this is really a joyous occasion. This is a very joyful time to be alive. Every situation here that's described is very negative. The fig tree should not blossom, the fruit not on the vines, produce of the olive fail. If we experience things like this, which these are kind of, you know, a lot of agricultural type of things, but in this time, this was how people survived. This was the wealth of individuals, was through the food and the produce that they could produce. So this is a very pessimistic, this is a very bleak outlook. But, verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places." So when we when we may lose joy in life, it's not going to be found in temporary pleasures like recreation and travel and entertainment. It's certainly not going to be found in these substances like drugs and alcohol. And sinful behavior is not where you're going to want to find joy. Instead, we find our joy in the Lord. And I really love how it brings out the fact that the God of my salvation in verse 18. Because regardless of what we're going through temporarily here on life, whenever we might lose our joy, we have to remember that this earth is temporary. These trials are temporary. And instead, what we're looking for is that the eternal promise of salvation that God has given us. So when we're looking for joy, let's be sure to look in the right place. Let's look to God and let's look to Scripture to find that joy. The next aspect I want to talk about is purpose. And this is one of the greatest questions of life, right? Everybody wants to know, what is my purpose? What is my purpose in life? From a very young age, you're encouraged to think about that. Whether it's your career or things like that, your teachers, your mentors, they try to help you think, okay, what's your purpose? What do you want to do in life? And that question sometimes is never answered by people. They go throughout their whole life, they never really find, or they feel like they don't ever really find their purpose. Well, the reason is because they're looking in all the wrong places. So some common places that people might look for their purpose, number one, I feel, is their career. I've been graduated from college for a few years now. I've been out in the working world, just corporate America, right? So career-focused individuals, I see them every single day. And I'm focused on my career. I don't want you to think that. But that's not where I find my purpose. So a lot of people look to their career to find their purpose. A lot of people look to their family to find their purpose. And I love my family, right? But your ultimate purpose is not found in your family, because when your family fails you, or when your family inevitably passes away, you start to lose loved ones, then all of a sudden you start to lose your purpose. And another huge one that people look to is wealth. They say, well, my purpose in life is to build up and accumulate as much wealth as possible. And once I do that, I know that I fulfill my purpose and I will be satisfied with life. Well, once again, kind of the catchphrase we're going to use this morning. If you're looking for your purpose in those aspects, you're looking in the wrong places. Instead, I love the passage that we find in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, if you'll turn there with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And the book of Ecclesiastes, honestly, is fairly pessimistic. It's fairly negative, especially in the first part of the book. It's commonly accepted that Solomon is the author of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon, as we know, arguably the richest man to ever live, but certainly in his time was the wealthiest, richest man to live. We know that he had exceeding knowledge and wisdom that God granted him. So he gets to talk a lot about his life experiences through the first part of Ecclesiastes. But Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, this can almost be, and I would encourage all of us to think about it this way, but this can almost be like the tagline or the slogan of our life as Christians. It says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." If you want to use one verse from Scripture, which luckily for us, there's tons of verses we can turn to. But if you want to use one verse to think about what is my purpose as a Christian, as a human, as a creator, or as a creation of God, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We can also look in Matthew, if you'll turn back over to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 22, to see a little bit more about what our purpose as Christians should be. Matthew 22, and we'll start in verse 36. Jesus here is teaching, and like a lot of times when Jesus is teaching, he starts to get questions from the audience. And they're not necessarily genuine questions sometimes. And in this case, you know, I don't know that this is a genuine question, whether or not they're curious or they're trying to trick Jesus. But it starts in verse 34. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him." In verse 36, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." And then he continues, "And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourselves," or as yourself. So once again, it's a similar thought that's echoed from Ecclesiastes. But if we're looking for our purpose, let's look in the right spot. Let's look to Scripture. Let's look to Jesus and see what he says our purpose is. And he plainly states that our purpose is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And when we do that, when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, that will impact every other aspect of your life. And that will cause you to behave in a way that you should, that as Christians should, that will cause you to obey the words that he has taught us. So when you're looking for purpose in life, if you feel like you've lost that a little bit, then don't look to career, family, and wealth. Instead, let's look to God. Let's look to Jesus and how we can serve him. And it's pretty simply stated just in those couple of verses that we looked at on what the purpose of man truly is. The third thing I want to talk about is strength. And I'm not talking about physical strength. Physical strength is of little benefit. We can read about in passages or in the New Testament. But instead, I'm talking about things like perseverance and willpower. So this is an aspect of being a Christian that is important to have. We have to have perseverance. We have to have willpower and strength to continue on as Christians. We've already talked about, and you don't need me to tell you, that this life is hard. That it's not always roses, sunshine, and rainbows, right? There's going to be trials that we face. And so it's important that we have that strength and that perseverance to continue to push on. But what do people look to when they feel like they're losing a little bit of their willpower or their strength? Well, a lot of times they look to like external sources of motivation. And what I mean by that, what comes to my mind are like things like podcasts, or they like to listen to other people who have exhibited, you know, a lot of perseverance and willpower. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think we can learn from other people, even if it's just a very earthly example. I think about a lot of these military leaders who have gone through like very, very tough physical trials, and they've pushed through, they've persevered. But we look to those external sources of motivation to try to pump us up and to try to give us the motivation that we need to continue to push forward. Along the same lines, a lot of times we'll pick up a self-help book in the bookstore, will say, "Well, this guy, I mean, he's an expert. He's got it figured out." Or, "She's an expert. She's got it figured out. This must be true. I'm going to pick up this self-help book, and I'm going to read on how I can improve my perseverance or my willpower." And then, to a certain extent, sometimes we do try to increase or improve our physical stamina. So if you tell yourself, "Well, if I can push myself physically, and I can improve my physical stamina or maybe my endurance, my health in that regard, then that will help my mental stamina. It will help my mental perseverance." And that's all well and good, but that ultimately is not the right place to look. Because as Christians, our physical stamina can only get us so far, right? Instead, what we need is spiritual stamina. So let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For an example of this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 16 through 18. So Paul here is writing to the Christians in Corinth, and it's important to always remember the context of what we read in Scripture. Obviously, they're going through a lot of tribulations, a lot of persecutions that we don't necessarily face today, which I think should give us a lot of encouragement in and of itself. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 16, Paul encourages these Christians. He says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So, in this life, when we feel like we're starting to lose steam, when our spiritual stamina seems to be running low, where do we look to refill, or where do we look to find that strength? Let's look to Scripture. Let's look to examples like the Corinthians here, who they are enduring a lot of physical persecution, but Paul encourages them, do not lose heart. We're going to go through times in life that are tough. We're going to experience trials and tribulations. But when I read this from Paul that says, do not lose heart, that provides me a lot more motivation than any self-help book I can pick up at the bookstore or any podcast I can listen to from a military expert. I think looking to Scripture, looking to examples of other Christians who have experienced similar things gives us that strength and that willpower. And then we can look in James real quickly, just in one verse here in the book of James. Just as a quick side note on this book, James is a really quick and easy read and has to do a lot with trials and tribulations we face in life, especially the first couple of chapters. So we're just going to read, maybe a verse or two from chapter one here, but if you are going through hard times in life, I would encourage you to open up the book of James because it does a really good job of encouraging me when I know that my faith is being tested or it just feels like life is not going my way. But in James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." So once again, this idea that the trials we face in life are temporary, it's very encouraging to remember, and it's even more encouraging to remember that we're doing this for the eternal crown, that we're doing this for the eternal reward and not for some temporary payoff here on earth. Well, those are the three aspects of our spiritual life that sometimes I think we can lose. But another idea I just wanted to hit on right here toward the end as we kind of wrap up is at one point, and there may be some in the crowd this morning, but at one point we were all lost. And this is kind of a different shift from what we've been talking about so far, but at one point we were all lost. And what I'm talking about is spiritually lost. And I love the parables that we read about in the Gospels that Christ talks about these different items that were once lost. I think about the sheep. This farmer has 100 sheep and he loses one. And what does he do? He leaves the 99 and he goes to find the one. Well, in the same way, we were all once lost before we obeyed the gospel and became Christians. And God knows where to look to find us. And he intentionally has sent his son to die on the cross to save us. And I think that idea is amazing. It gives me a lot of motivation. It gives me a lot of encouragement as I think about this. So this morning, if you have not obeyed the gospel, if you are still lost, then the right place to look is not to other men or not to other doctrines of man. Instead, the right place to look is Scripture. And simply put, the plan of salvation is quite simple. It involves hearing the word of God, that gospel message that Jesus, the Son of Man, or the Son of God, came down as a man and died on the cross for our sins. You have to believe that Christ was the Son of God, and then you confess that belief and repent of your sins. You have to turn away from your former way of life and be baptized in order to wash away those sins. Symbolically, you're washing away that old man and you're being raised as a new man in Christ. And then the rest of your life is spent serving God. It's spent, like we read about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, that the whole purpose of man is to serve God and do his commandments. So that's if you have never obeyed the gospel. If you still find yourself in that status of being lost, then you know we would love to be able to help you this morning. But maybe you are a Christian and you've lost some of these aspects in your spiritual life. Maybe you've lost some joy, some purpose, or some strength. Those aren't the only three aspects of being a Christian, right? There's tons of other areas and characteristics of our life as Christians that we could potentially lose. But I would encourage you to look in the right place. Let's start with Scripture to find the solution, to find these characteristics of our life instead of looking at external sources to find those things. And something I thought of to myself, and my mom actually says this in certain words, but you know, it's the easiest way to find something is to not lose it in the first place. And yeah, obviously that's easier said than done, but you think about this, and it's true, because you have your car keys, and maybe you have a bowl by the door that you throw your car keys in, or you have a hook that you hang them on, or you know, you have your wallet, and in your room you have a little container that you throw your wallet in. Well, if you set up those little reminders in your everyday life to put things where you might often lose them, you put them in these places so that you don't lose them. The same is true of our spiritual life. When we're constantly in the Word, when we're constantly reminding ourselves of these different aspects of our spiritual life, then it's much harder to lose that joy or to lose that purpose or that strength. So let's set up some spiritual reminders. Let's set up systems and put systems in place to help us not lose those different aspects of our spiritual life. But this morning, I hope those thoughts, hope those ideas have been helpful. When we lose these things, it's because we're looking in all the wrong places. So let's remember the right place to look, which is Scripture, and let's remember to do that when we find ourselves struggling, or if we just find ourselves in life when we have lost some of those aspects of our spiritual life. If there's anything that needs to be done this morning, if you need to restore your faith, or if you need to obey the gospel, I know that the congregation here will be more than happy to help you do those things. So please come forward as we stand and as we sing.